Welcome to Focus on the Five, conversations with Baldwin County business leaders and entrepreneurs, brought to you by Josh Knoll of Gulf Coast Financial Advisors. And now, Josh Knoll.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Focus on the Five, conversations with Baldwin County, Alabama area entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm your host, Josh Knoll of Gulf Coast Financial Advisors. We are coming to you today from the studios of WABF 1480, located here in beautiful downtown Fairhope, Alabama. Well, listeners, you're in for a treat today. We've got a local realtor that not only has a reputation of doing a good job with his business, but he also brings kind of a personal touch to it with his fitness story and some of the things that he's overcome to get where he's at today. So please welcome to the show, Marcus Allgood of J-Par Coast and County. Marcus, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing? I really appreciate you inviting me onto the show.
Well, I appreciate you jumping in on this. Well, let's talk about your business side first. All right, okay. So let's talk about how long have you been in real estate? What got you going in that?
Well, I've been in it for a year and a half, and about, let's say like 4 or 5 years ago when I had the gym business, I was looking to get into something different and maybe get rid of the gym business, and real estate really just fit the environment that I was looking for, is to be able to change people's lives, be able to make dreams come true. And I wasn't getting that with the gym business. I knew in real estate I could get that because people are always looking to change their life and just find that dream home that they've always dreamed to get. And to, once you build that personal relationship with that person, they're going to be your friend forever, you know, and you can change that person's life more than once. It doesn't just have to be that one dream home. It could be their second home or their next home that they want to go to because they've outgrown that home that they were in and their next dream is coming true. And just to have that connection with that kind of person is just, it's invaluable to me. And it just fills my heart to be able to do that for other people. And at the beginning, I felt that with the gym, but I lost it with the gym because it was just so more transactional than anything. And that wasn't the kind of relationships that I was trying to build.
What, were you a gym owner?
Yeah, I was a gym owner in Pensacola with CrossFit Sidewinder. I had it for 7 years. And, you know, the first 3 years were amazing, changing people's lives. And then it just kind of felt more like it was a transaction-based business where people would just come in 2 or 3 months and then leave. You know, let me just lose 10 pounds and I'll run away. Let me go lose 5 pounds and I'll just quit the gym and I'll just go back to where I was doing before. Right. And it just really was more, instead of being more fulfilling, it was more just draining than anything.
Well, but you did, so you did have some experience on transactional side, having to chase customers, sign them up, create that revenue, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. A lot of Facebook ads, a lot of conversations with people just walking around, you know, going to different competitions and different things like that, just to be able to meet as many people as I could.
Well, I've been both a gym owner and a real estate broker or agent before. So my question to you would be then, in the gym membership, you would get small pieces of revenue from a wide base mm-hmm. that would continually kind of cycle in and out to a certain degree.
Yes, sir.
How scary was it from leaving that little pieces accumulation and jumping into real estate where you don't necessarily know where your first paycheck's coming
from? It was real scary because I didn't get my first sale for 6 months. And ooh. I was thought, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong? Like doing all these, you know, putting out some Facebook ads and putting out some flyers, talking to people, trying to build my sphere of influence and things like that. And I was like, this is hard. Like, it was definitely hard. And my buddy actually was like, I didn't get in real estate because you were telling me how hard it was. I was like, that's the whole point of it. Right. Like, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
That's right. And they wouldn't pay you very much.
Yeah, they wouldn't pay you very much. Right. You'd be getting $10 an hour to go out there and talk to people. But yeah, it was a huge transition because of the fact that I'm used to signing people up right away and just getting the ball rolling. Like I said, more transactional, where the real estate business is more about building the relationship with the client. Like the last house I sold, I talked to the guy in February. I actually cold called him. He's like, yeah, tell me what my house is worth. In February of this year, we just now closed on him selling his house and buying a house December 17th.
Well, what do you think changed for those 6 months? Do you think it was just a matter of time you had to put in the blood, sweat, and tears to get known? Or do you think you got better at it exponentially? Or did all that come together?
All of it came together at the same time because of the fact that one of my colleagues, Andrew Carver, he actually told me about Ricky Kruth and how he does cold calling and builds relationships and not just calls people to say, hey, you want to sell your house? No, click. you know, I try and build up relationships with them, and I put them on my newsletter and reach out to them once a week, every Wednesday, and it usually goes out about the same time. And I usually put market stats and just, you know, some personal touches in there, and also like featured listings, and that keeps the business going and keeps people more engaged. And like this week, I'm putting out that if you're on my newsletter, you're going to be able to reply back and be able to go into a drawing for $100 gift certificate, just to give back to the community and give back to the people that actually read the newsletter.
Very good. We'll circle back around how to get signed up for the newsletter. Well, because for many people, or most people, both purchasing a home and or selling a home is their largest single financial transaction they ever do. So how do you feel like you've made with those relationships? How's that developed into making people feel comfortable with having you handle this huge transaction in their life?
Well, basically, I think they just feel comfortable just by the way I approach them, and, you know, by not trying to sell them on, you know, you have to sell your house now or you need to go buy a house now. It's more about me building a relationship and becoming friends with them and them feeling comfortable with me, knowing that I'll be able to take care of them in the long run. And then if they have questions along the way, I'm never the person that says, I'm not going to lie to them and say this, this, and this. I'm going to be like, you know what? That's an excellent question. Let me find out for you, and I'm going to get back to you on that. I need to find that out for myself before I tell you something wrong that's going to hurt the relationship that we have right now.
Well, too, you know, you and I'm older than you are, but we are of a certain age, if you will. Do you feel like that's helped you a little bit with me being able to shoot people straight, not getting the expectations too high or too low, and being able to be straightforward with them?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It takes a lot of maturity to be able to have the conversation like, look, your house is not in the right shape right now, or this house is not going to be a $500,000 house when it's a $300,000 house. There are people out there that are going to do that kind of thing, but that's not me. And the person on the other end is really receptive to that, and they've actually thanked me in the long run, saying thank you for not letting us get too crazy on the price or not letting us have this in the house when we were selling it. Just builds a better trust value.
And a lot of people that are maybe not familiar with real estate in a heavy manner when they're going to sell, a lot of times they think, well, I'll just throw out a high price and then I can adjust. What they don't realize is that's kind of a red flag to buyers, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially if it's been sitting for a while. But if you price it too high, especially like a year and a half ago, if you price it too high and you had to start doing price reductions, something was wrong with the house. That's what everybody thought. Something was wrong with the house. And now it's kind of different because of the fact that the market has been so crazy, and, you know, houses were going in 24 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours. Now they're starting to come back on the market and they're staying a little bit longer, 2 weeks. The average days of the market got all the way down to 23, and it's back up to like 36. And 2 years ago, it was like 87.
Wow.
So it's a big, big difference. The market's changing a little bit. But if you overprice right now, you can do a couple price reductions, it's not going to hurt you because we're doing price reductions within the first week or two. So basically, if you put a house out and you price it at $500,000, and deep down inside, I know it's like a $475,000 house, but the client says, no, we're doing $500,000 or nothing, you got to prep them and say, look, within a week, if we don't have any offers, you got to reduce this price. You don't want to wait any longer, because after a week or two, that's when people are going to start saying, what happened? What's wrong with the house? It's not as common as it was 2 years ago, because before, a price reduction was like a month, month and a half. Now it's like within a week or two, because
the information is out there and you've got so many buyers waiting.
Yeah,
right.
There's so many buyers waiting.
If you're missing the mark off the bat, then you've just missed the mark.
Yeah.
And you need to move quickly.
And it's not about the realtor price saying, let's price it here at 475. I know you want to go 500. It's not about that realtor trying to leave money on the table. It's saying, no, the market says this. The market will tell you if you were right or wrong. The market doesn't care. It doesn't have any feelings. Doesn't have any reason. Doesn't have any algorithm. Zillow tried that one out. It didn't work out for him.
Fair.
So it's about market and real life stats that you have to put it out there. You have to do your research and put it out there and see if it's going to go. But most of the time, the realtor is pretty spot on.
The realtor has every motivation to price it right
from
the beginning.
Yeah, exactly, because it hurts our reputation if the house sits too long.
Well, and it also hurts your reputation if you come in and lowball, which is not happening right now.
No.
But you know, that's somebody that's probably not going to use you on the next go around.
Yeah, exactly. And this business is not about transactions. This is about building relationships.
100%. All right, so let's talk about this. We have listeners. We're obviously here on local station, and we're heard along the Gulf Coast, but through Facebook and everything else that we do through the website, we have listeners all over the place. And a lot of people are curious about specifically Fairhope, Alabama, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Baldwin County. Let's talk about the status of the local market and what's that looking like right now.
It's still pretty good. I mean, it's still really good. I'm not going to say pretty good. It's really, really good. Like, houses are still going. Like I said, there's a little bit more open houses. I've started watching the condo market a little bit. I have a couple clients looking for condos, and there are some condo prices coming down now, where in the summer it was a constant going up, 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 up. Like, we looked at a condo. It was back in April. It was like $590,000. That same condo could be resold for $680,000 right now, which is crazy. $100,000 in like 6 months.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The houses around here right now, they're going good. We're starting to see they're not going in 24 hours anymore.
Hold on one sec. When you said earlier the average time on market was 23 days.
Yeah.
Is that from contract acceptance to close? Or from contract acceptance to what?
That's from listing the property on the MLS to closed.
I'll be dang, 23 days. Like,
yeah, because there's so many cash buyers. There's a ton of cash buyers out there. There's more cash buyers out there than there ever has been now. I think it was around like almost 30-something percent were cash buyers.
That's amazing.
Which is
unheard of.
Yeah, it's unheard of. There's so much equity out there right now in most people's homes. Like, even my personal home, I probably have like 150,000 in equity, right, from 2 years ago.
Right. Love it.
Which is unheard of.
So people that are familiar with real estate agents know that some work on the buying side, some work on the selling side, some work on both. What do you do?
I do both. I really like the selling side and the buying side. I lean more towards the selling side just because of the fact that I like the sale part of it, like going out there trying to compete against other sellers to get the listing. It's still pretty fun. Although, I mean, it's a roller coaster of ups and downs, because when you don't get the listing, you go back home and you're like, what did I do wrong? And it's not even anything you did wrong. You just might not have connected with that person. Right. The next realtor, he might have said all the right things, but they probably connected a little bit better. Sure. And I learned in the gym business, you can't please everybody. Right. There's a tribe out there for you. And when you find that tribe, you stick with them. Don't try and venture out past that tribe.
Agreed. Same in my line of work, by the way.
Yeah.
So when you get the listing, walk through just a brief overlay of the process. What happens next?
Basically, once I get the listing, then we go over. I like to go over, like, do a walkthrough of the house, see if it's cluttered, see what needs to be taken out, what needs to be packed away. You know, take pictures off the wall, all the personal pictures off the wall. You can have a couple of them in there, but you don't want your walls super cluttered up. You don't want if you have a kid's room, you don't want all his toys thrown around everywhere. You want to make sure the paints are right. If you have an old yellow house, you probably want to throw some like more of a neutral color on there. Maybe even go with some grays or some whites. There are some people saying that those are going back out, but and then earth tones are coming in, but we're not seeing that much here. I usually go by with what like Trulin and DR Horton are putting in. They're still using the grays and the whites, so I think that's still a very popular color. You want to go through the house and make sure there's nothing really needs done. You're not doing a home inspection, but you kind of are. You're looking for some paint chips or some rotted wood, you know, different things like that, just to basically get the seller to things that need to be done.
To see it through the buyer's potential buyer's eyes.
You know, because, right. I mean, I'm pretty good at spotting everything out. I mean, it's kind of like one of my qualities that I have. I can spot the flaw. Mm-hmm. That's what made me such a good CrossFit trainer, because I could tell what you did wrong in an instant, you know. So bringing it over to the real estate side is just more about picking out what's wrong with the actual house. And some things you can't see, but I like to go in there and I'll turn on the faucets and see if the water goes down fast or not, you know, flush the toilets, things that most people aren't going to do that I'm going to go in there first and check out to see what's going on with this house.
All right. So for those of the thousands of people that are moving here
and
on the buying side, what does that process look like when you got somebody coming in?
I like to sit down with them if I can, either through Zoom on a phone call or even in person, and just ask them why they're moving here, what they're looking for. What they're looking for in an agent, like how often do they want to be contacted? How often do they want to be emailed a home? Do you want to know if the home, Like, as soon as the home comes on the market, do you want to go look at it right away? Like, I ask them what their timeline is and how, what their process is for actually going to look at a home. Some people don't want to go personally. They want the agent to go in there and just do a video tour before they even come look at it. And a lot of people are going to be from out of town, and so they want to do it first, do a video tour, and then come and look at it, because a lot of times the pictures aren't going to be the greatest. You can hide a lot of stuff in pictures,
right?
Especially on the internet, things like that. But once I meet them and talk to them and make sure that they're a good fit for me and I'm a good fit for them, and just to find out, you know, what makes them tick and let them know what makes me tick, is basically, like I said before, it's just building that relationship up. I'm not trying to just say, what's your budget? When you want to move? Okay, I'll send you some stuff. I want to know why they're moving here. Do they have family here? Are they moving here because of the school system? Because the school system is going to be a big choice. Do they want Fairhope? Or do they want Spanish Four? Do they want Daphne? You know, are they trying to go for sports? Are they trying to go for academics? There's so many different options that...
The things you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even with all the traffic we have, even getting them placed properly on 98 or 181.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on if there's somebody that travels south a lot or travels north.
Yeah.
Can make a huge difference in their daily quality.
Oh, life. Yeah. Right? Big time. And even if they're going to open a business, are they going to open it down south? Are they going to open it north? Are they going to open it on the east? The east. I was thinking west in my head. I was like, nobody's opening on the west. We're just going to go in the water at that point.
Well, so on the last point on the buyer's agent side, when you're a buyer's agent, do they, outside of the cash buyers, are they normally coming in pre-qualified, or do you help them get through that process too?
Most of the people I help have been pre-qualified. I try and strive for, in my head, my goal is to help $500,000 and up.
Okay.
I try and stay away from like the 250, 300, just because of the fact that I don't want to sound snobby, but
it's kind of a bloodbath in that market.
Yeah,
right
it
now.
Is. I mean it is. You got like the investors
chasing.
You got everybody, investors, everybody looking for that same house.
Right.
Like if you have a 1,600 square foot house, anybody that's listening right now, a 16 square foot house, you want to move, and you want to sell it for, if it's in Fairhope, you can sell it for 260 to 300. You will have like 10 offers on that house
within
the day.
Right.
Like it's just crazy because there's going to be so many investors trying to hit it up, and I'm not saying you're going to get 300 because the investors are going to lowball you. But a lot of them aren't even lowballing anymore because they need houses and they got to move their 1031 exchange to a new house.
Love it. Well, let's take a quick break for station identification. For those of you just joining us here on WABF 1480 AM, this is Focus on the Five, conversations with Baldwin County, Alabama entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm your host, Josh Knoll, and I am joined by Marcus Allgood of JPAR Coast and County. All right, Marcus, I want to pivot to your personally. Now, the radio listeners won't be able to see you, although you do have a pretty good following online. The video listeners will be able to see you. You're super fit.
Thanks, man.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I've put a lot of work.
Chasing. Yeah, I'm always about 15 pounds behind you, but we'll get to that. But that hadn't always been the case.
So, no. I used to be one of those party people that out of college just drank and smoked cigarettes. And the crazy thing, I didn't even start smoking until I was like 20 or 21 back in college. And I was just dumb at a party. I was like, give me a cigarette. And the next thing you know, I was smoking for 15 years.
Wow.
Like a long time. Like most people that, like I told Josh, I was like, oh, I used to smoke. He's like, what? That's crazy.
Right.
And I used to drink. I mean, I went to the bar like 6-7 nights a week back in Austin when I lived in Austin. My buddy and I were partying. You know, we thought we would stay fit, you know, work out every once in a while. Because I started working out when I was in college. And then partied too hard. And then back in 2010, I proposed to my girlfriend at the time. And I said, we were going to get married in a year. And I said, let's lose the weight. I was 30 pounds overweight. I was up to like 200 pounds. I'm only 5'7". So imagine that, you know, no muscle, no nothing, no definition, anything. Just straight fat. I mean, I didn't I had the beer gut. Let's just say that. Beer gut. Didn't have big legs or anything. No arms anymore.
You were well balanced. The bubble was in the middle.
Exactly. All in the middle.
Right.
And I said, let's get healthy and look our best for our wedding. And so we joined CrossFit. And the funny story is that we walked in the CrossFit gym. She's like, we're just going to talk about it. Okay. I was like, okay, well, we'll go in there. So we walk in and he tells us all about it. And they're doing this workout. I'm like, man, this looks intense. I don't know if I could do this. And next thing you know, I'm signing a contract for 3 months before I even walked out of there. And she, we go eat some wings, and she's like, "What happened? I thought we were going to talk about it." I was like, "We did, inside there." Right. I was like, "We got to get fit." And since 2010, I've only missed a few days of actually working out. Once when I broke my foot, and then, you know, a couple times when I hurt my back. But I was always trying to do something, even in the fact that if it was just anything, some kind of physical activity I could do. And the main thing is with my actual transformation was about food. I didn't even eat vegetables until I was 33.
I'll be dang.
Yeah, I didn't eat vegetables. I ate pasta, rice, and chicken breast and steak. Like, that was it. That's all I ate. It was crazy. My wife was – so when we were learning the zone diet, she would put these vegetables on the plate about this big, and she's like, "Marcus, you're an adult. Eat the vegetables." And I'd be like choking them down. And of course now, I mean, all the vegetables, I just sit there and I crave vegetables. I probably eat too many vegetables now.
Yeah, you're probably the guy that eats raw broccoli.
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how that ties into your business, because I know personal fitness is, even though you left the gym ownership days behind, personal fitness is still part of your mantra. It's part of who you are.
Oh yeah.
How does that tie in with your business success? How's that tied in with you as a person? What has that done for you?
It really helps the mindset, because of the fact that when you wake up in the morning and you get your workout in, you've already crushed the hardest part of the day. Like, that's it. That's your hardest part of the day, is get that workout in. Because if you've ever put it off until 5 o'clock the afternoon when you try and get off work, guess what? You're going to happy hour. You're going to the kids' basketball game. You're going to find something else to do. Somebody's going to call you up and say, "Hey, let me go do this." But if you get up in the morning and you crush that part of your workout, and then you get your day started after that, you've already got a win in the win column, compared to I skipped that workout, now I have a loss in that column. You're already winning the day, is what a lot of people like to call it.
Well, but with winning the day, do you feel like you're running at really optimal efficiency, to where you're getting more done in a day for your potential sellers and buyers than normal?
Oh yes, because of the fact that after I work out, I'm more energized, I have better sleep quality, I'm more energized, and my brain's in a better position, because I'm not even thinking about, "Oh, I need to get that workout in." Like, I'm getting my workout in, my brain's functioning, the blood's pumping, and then I get to concentrate on the actual tasks at hand of helping the buyers and sellers, or making cold calls, or, you know, taking care of the kids, or whatever I got to do. But basically, it just puts you in a better mindset to focus on your clients that you have coming up on, and your appointments that you have coming up.
I don't know about you, Lori, but I'm really regretting the pizza and beer that I had last night. Domino's got me again.
They'll do it.
All right, so let's circle back to the business. You're running at a high level, optimal. You've got a lot of activity going. You got people calling you, reaching out. I know you're pretty active on social media. What do you feel has been, outside of the personal touch of going around shaking hands, kissing babies, and doing all that, what do you think has been the most effective for spreading your brand around here?
I think Facebook has been really good. Instagram. And then when I had the podcast going, I got some people from there too. Just kind of slacked off on it. I was telling Lori about it. It's just like, it gets hard writing a podcast each week. And then when COVID was, we had all the time in the world.
Right.
And now it's like, oh man, we're busy. So we kind of put something off to the side. But I'll give you
a piece of advice. Don't write it.
There you go. Yeah, see? Just jump on.
Come in and let it rip.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously can talk off on right. Your heels.
Yeah. So last year, I did 365 days of lives. And I think that really helped out. Basically, I was either talking about what was going on in my life at that point, or talking about something in real estate. And basically, I've taken some of that content and I put it on Instagram Reels. I've chopped it up and put it in different spots, and I've got some followings from that. And then I think it's helped, you know, getting on this show. I've gotten on to this little show with Amy Cotney before when I was up in Birmingham, and just getting on some other podcasts and things like that. I think it really helps out letting people know that who you are. Because when I call people, sometimes they'll say, "Well, who are you?" I'm like, "Look, you can go to my Facebook. It's not private. You can go to my YouTube channel. You can go to my Instagram. I put up all sorts of videos that talk about real estate. Like, you know, I am legit real estate here in Fairhope. You can go look at it, and there's no BS about it." And I think that really helps people, especially when you're cold calling them, to have trust in you, to be able to look you up. And like, if you Google my name, I'm going to come up first in the search engines. So that really helps out.
Well, what you learned is what we all learn is no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And until you can put yourself out in an authentic way where they feel like they get to know you, that helps distinguish you and that helps them relate. And as you've probably seen, and I've definitely seen my line of work, that also kind of helps weed out people that wouldn't be a good fit.
Yeah.
You said earlier, you're not for everyone.
No.
Lord knows I'm not either. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That's okay.
Because the one that gets you, I think you called it your tribe.
Yeah.
Which I love that. I'm totally stealing that.
Nice.
So, all right, let's talk about a couple more things. What do you think are some misconceptions that you see with real estate down here? What's a couple that pop on quite a bit?
Like a lot of it is just going to be that there's no homes for sale right now. Like there's everybody you talk to, well, I would sell, but where am I going to go? You're going to go to the next house. That's where you're going to go. We're going to find you a house. Like there's closings happen every day. I just looked at how many closings there were today. There was 26 closings. So there's houses for sale. You might not see it because you're not looking for it, right? Because of the fact that, you know, I want to sell my house doesn't mean I'm in the mode to go look for a house. You're in the mode to sell the house. You're not actually looking for a house. But until you start looking or even just having a real estate agent being out there for you, pushing these homes towards you, or going out there making the call saying, hey, I have a buyer that wants to live in your neighborhood, would you sell? Then that's how you get it. That's how you find the house. There's always going to be a house for sale. It doesn't matter if you put your house on the market, you're going to have another house in less than 2 months.
Yep. Love it.
Like that's the biggest
misconception
right now, that there's no homes for
sale.
That's
what I thought you'd say, but I wanted to let you answer that. All right, two more questions. What's the future hold for Marcus Allgood?
Marcus Allgood's future is amazing. It's bright. It's ready to go. The real estate world is here for the taking. Like, I'm super pumped for next year. I've got a lot of things in the pipeline. I want to jump back on the podcast. I want to beef up my newsletter a little bit, do some more drawings and things like that, make more calls this year, and then just basically get out there and just meet as many people as I can and just be able to get on different shows and be able to maybe jump on some podcasts of other entrepreneurs here in the area. Maybe Josh can help me with that.
I try.
Yeah. Just basically that and my family life. I spent 7 years in the gym life, and it seemed like I was always gone because you had to be gone at 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. to help those families out. And now I get to be able to spend time with my family, and I love making breakfast for my kids and watching them come up in the morning, come downstairs and be like, hey, what do y'all want for breakfast? And being able to be there for them, take them to school, and then get my day started. And so next year is just, the real estate world has just provided that for me and my family, and we're just going to have a blast and have as much fun as we can.
Well, your great energy has provided a lot of that. You would have done well in anything you picked.
I appreciate that.
So in closing, how do people get a hold of you? List all your contact areas.
I got marcusallgoodrealestate.com, or you can email me at marcus@marcusallgoodrealestate.com, and then @marcusallgood pretty much on, I think it's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram.
How about phone number?
I have 251-721-1588. The phone is always there. You can text or call. I am not the realtor that will not answer the phone. If you call me, I'm going to answer the phone.
Say that number one more time.
251-721-1588.
Very good.
Newsletter? Oh.
Yeah, we got to get back to the newsletter.
Email me at marcus@marcusallgoodrealestate.com, and I will add you to the newsletter. It's got a bunch of exciting things. Obviously, it's going to have some drawings, but you're always going to know what's happening in Fairhope and Daphne, and then you're always going to know what's up to date on the market.
Right, and Marcus's last name is spelled just like it sounds, all good.
Yes, sir.
A-L-L-G-O-O-D.
A-L-L-G-O-O-D.
You are all good, my friend, so thank you for joining the show.
Man, I really appreciate it. It's been a blessing to be on here.
Well, thank you. You crushed it. So, folks, if you're a regular listener of the show, then you know that we also film our conversation and release it on YouTube and Facebook. So if you're watching this video, I'd like to reach out to either Marcus or myself. Feel free to send a message. Lastly, if you're a Baldwin County area entrepreneur or business person, would like to have a conversation like this one, you can reach out to us. You'll find my contact info at the end of the show. In closing, I want to thank my guest, Marcus Allgood of J. Parr Coast and County. You did a great job.
Woohoo!
All right. Also, thanks to our producer, Lori DeBose, and thank you to all that out there that are listening. I am Josh Knoll of Gulf Coast Financial Advisors, and this has been Focus on the Five. Have a great day. That's it, buddy.
Good job. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you for listening to Focus on the Five. If you are interested in learning more about Josh Knoll and Gulf Coast Financial Advisors, you can find us at gulfcoastfa.com, call 251-327-2124, email josh.knoll@gulfcoastfa.com, or message us on Facebook. Focus on the Five is produced by Josh Knoll of Gulf Coast Financial Advisors. Advisory services offered through Investment Advisors, a division of Pro Equities, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Pro Equities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC. Gulf Coast Financial Advisors is independent of Pro Equities, Inc. Information presented is for educational purposes only and is not an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any securities. Focus on the Five offers commentary and generalized research, not personalized investment advice. Show content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute a complete description of our investment services or performance. All investments involve risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Be sure to consult a tax professional before implementing any investment strategy.